It's the night before WrestleMania. It's the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Jimmy Corderas tonight to talk about SmackDown, the build, the go-home for WrestleMania. Jimmy, we were talking off the air, but compared to other go-home shows right before Mania, I know we've got Hall of Fame tonight. It's a two-night event. Aside from the Battle Royal tonight, did you feel like there was a lot of momentum? I mean, Cody had his great entrance. Sammy and KO had their face-off with the Usos. But did it surprise you tonight that we didn't have more really big moments?
Yes and no. I hate to be the guy who sounds like he's sitting on the fence, but I was expecting a little more oomph, you know what I mean. There wasn't that, as the great Marvin the Martian used to say, that sonic kaboom. Where was that earth-shattering kaboom? You know, there were some good moments and there was stuff where I went, oh, that's kind of cool. But at the same time, it felt like it was missing a little something tonight. It was almost like, okay, we got WrestleMania tomorrow and on Sunday night. We got two nights of WrestleMania and the Raw following, which has also become a big night as well.
Yeah.
Let's not take any chances. Let's get people to, want to see, I guess.
Yeah.
But you're trying to entice them in. You're trying to talk them in as well. I don't know.
It's interesting. Not to jump ahead to the end, but I even expected Roman to drop more of a bombshell, like, if you beat me, I won't show my face around. You know what I mean? Something to sort of set up bigger stakes, since the rumors that Roman's going to take some time off after this. Anyhow, like, it just didn't feel like things were really upped tonight. We didn't up the ante very much, with the exception of the LWO segment. I don't feel like there was any huge development or bombshell tonight. I thought the Battle Royal was good. I liked that Bobby Lashley got his consolation prize for Bray Wyatt being out of WrestleMania. But yeah, it was very, very interesting tonight. Just to see, apparently my mic sounds low. Let me see what's going on here with the audio. No, I'm going through the fancy mic. So I'm not sure what that is.
And the opening segment, I will give it credit.
Yeah.
When you talk about talking people into wanting to see something, I think they did a good job with that.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to say that tonight they gave it the most stakes and storyline.
Yes.
Things with KO.
Yes.
Let's see what's happening here. Oh, there we go. Okay, I can hear my mic. Whoa, I sound very robotic. What's up with that? Is my voice on?
No, not to me.
Okay, I'm just hearing it come through on the playback. Mm-hmm. Let me have some water. I've been talking today quite a bit.
This is going to be a long weekend of talking. Not to jump ahead again, but I guess you're joining Justin and I tomorrow night.
Correct.
After night one, and I think Raj is joining us on Sunday night.
Yes, just when Raj Geary thinks he's out, we pull him back in.
Yeah, just when you think it's over, we drag you back in. Yes.
Okay, let me try. Jimmy, talk to the people a moment. Let me try and fix what's going on here with my mic.
Now, like I was just telling Glenn here, join us all weekend because we got a lot to talk about, a lot to cover. We're going to be covering obviously tonight we are covering SmackDown. We're not covering the Hall of Fame because that's happening as we speak. And they haven't even begun it because they're still setting it up. But tomorrow night, after night one of WrestleMania, join Glenn, Justin, and myself as we will recap what we saw. It should be a very interesting night, starting off with a huge match, John Cena versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship. It's going to be interesting to see what closes out night one. There's been some debate. Should it be the women's championship match with Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair? Should the tag match with the Usos versus KO and Sammy close out night one? A lot of speculation there on what it's going to close with. So, and we pretty much figured out what's going to close night two. So that, I don't think that's much of a surprise. It's going to be a fun weekend. Let's put it that way. And a lot to digest and to break down. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So there we go. Now I sound like me in my headphones again. In the chat room, can confirm this sounds normal. I don't know what was going on before. It was a weird robotic thing. It was very strange. Hopefully all the calls I took today and things I did on this very setup didn't sound
there bad. You go.
So yeah, let's see. Let's just jump into it and talk about everything that happened tonight on the show. We did open with that promo, that face-off with Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and the Usos. KO and Sami getting a great crowd response tonight. And this was very, very heated. I think the thing I liked about this is that even though we've heard the Usos talk about the bloodline and talk about Sami and the relationship, I feel like tonight Kevin really contextualized his perspective on all of this and talking about how he felt about the Usos and how great they were to him when he first came to NXT and joined the company. And that by doing Roman's bidding and following Roman's influence, that they had lost their way.
Right.
And it really, really set up a very good personal connection to that match. We're going to see, we know what Sammy's connection is, but with KOFL, we got that. And we finally got him talking about what happened at Elimination Chamber with them trying to end his career and why Sammy stepped up. I feel like some of this was actually overdue tonight, what we saw with this. It got me, you know, twice as interested as I was before, because finally I felt they were really giving the storyline some logic to it.
No, absolutely. And there were also, in the way they were setting this up, like you said, the way you described it was perfect. They also planted some seeds, because you could see the slight, you know, it doesn't have to be an over-the-top reaction, but you saw Jey Uso's reaction when Kevin, you know, said to him, look, you know, he's taking advantage of you guys, so to speak, for lack of a better, of course, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not giving the exact words, because obviously KO was very passionate in his promo tonight. I thought that was a great, him and Sammy sounded so good. But they planted those little seeds where people now are going to say, will the Usos wake up and kind of, will there be some dissension within the ranks of the bloodline? So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities going on here. They're making the story very enticing for people to want to watch and see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this match. I think this match should headline night one of WrestleMania. I can't think of anything else on the card. Well, Dominic and Rey.
When you're talking big time storylines, yes, those are the two. I mean, the people are going to argue and say, you know, should the women's match with Rhea and Charlotte close out the night? You can make a case for it because it is the women's championship.
It is.
At the same time, but at the same time, when you're talking about what people are invested in storyline wise, they really hit a home run with this bloodline storyline.
Yeah.
With all the members involved, whether it's, you know, Sammy and KO versus the Usos, and, you know, bringing in Solo. Cody is on fire right now. Everything is clicking with that. And so you can make a case for that, closing it out and connecting the dots to what happens on night two.
Well, here's the criticism of this. The criticism isn't if the women don't headline night one of Mania. The criticism is, why didn't WWE build this storyline better? It's not Rhea's fault. It's not Charlotte's fault. Why didn't they build this story better to where it feels like there's no question what should be the headline match of night one of WrestleMania? Because with the promo with Dominic and Charlotte got this off on a very hot start. And I feel like since then, we know what Rhea's motivation is. I'm still not sure what Charlotte's motivation is, to be honest. I think it's going to be an excellent match. I love both of them. Rhea Ripley is one of my absolute favorite wrestlers, period. I just think they haven't done a very good job of making this story feel as hot as the previous women's main event matches.
No, I totally agree. I don't know what to add to that, because, you know, as I've said here countless times on, you know, especially with Justin and Jack and Issa, you know, you can do all the moves in the world, the twisting, burning 450 hammer Phoenix splashes, and people will go, ooh, ah, like a big fireworks display. But what do people get invested in? Stories, emotions, characters. They want to see somebody, you know, succeed, and they want to see somebody get their butts kicked. It's the suspension of disbelief while you're watching this for a little while. Just sit back and enjoy it for what it is, entertainment. Yeah. And unfortunately, the story isn't there, so to speak, with Rhea and Charlotte. It hasn't been built up to where you want to see what happens. And I agree with you. It's going to be a hell of a match. There's no question about that because they're two very talented ladies. But at the same time, give me a story. Give me something to connect to.
Well, and what's interesting about this is we got a video package recapping it tonight, but we didn't have a big in-ring face-off.
Right.
You know, they haven't done this justice. And I think part of the challenges, and this is a little bit in fairness to WWE, Dominic is a heel. Judgment Day are heels, but Rhea's always Rhea's, you know, very much that stone cold Han Solo, you know, lovable rogue. Like, she's cool because she's not a traditional hero. Right. And Charlotte has such a gravitas and greatness about her. It's hard for her to be seen as the babyface, given how they've booked her in recent years. So I think that telling this story has been a bit of a challenge. It's like two badass athletes at the top of their game. Throwing Dominic in the mix was great, but that, I don't think they ever matched the stakes of that, of Dominic just being such a condescending jerk to Charlotte in that original promo.
No, exactly. And like I said, does this lead down the road to Charlotte and Dominic having some kind of, I know WWE is very much against having the male female physicality in the ring.
Yeah. Understandable.
But at the same time, this is different. Dominic and Charlotte could be a very interesting way to kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah. So they did this tonight. Were you confused at first that they did the men's fatal four way with the tag teams? So it was a singles match, but the tag teams were out there, and then they did this for the women. And these are the same matches we're going to see this weekend. It's just going to be for the number one contendership.
Right. I'm not confused because it was singles as opposed to a tag team fatal four way. It's kind of felt like, okay, we need to fill some time, but we also need to do something where we limit the potential always in the back of your mind. You don't want to think about it, but there is a chance going into WrestleMania. You have to have these shows, but at the same time, you don't want anybody getting injured.
Yeah.
And we need to fill some time on these shows as well. So why not give these guys some television time so that they can get seen? And maybe somebody will say, hey, you know what? You know, you have got a guy like Montez Ford, who is actually
he's phenomenal. Really,
yeah, he is absolutely phenomenal. And I'll give Angelo Dawkins his credit, too, because he stepped up his game big time, in the last few weeks as well. You know, Chad Gable, I think, is just great and just not getting the just desserts he deserves, in my opinion. Same with Ricochet and Eric. You know, I get why they did it, but at the same time, it kind of felt like a little bit of filler.
Well, to your point about them not wanting to take huge risks the night before Mania, because God forbid somebody gets injured. Mm-hmm. What about this idea? You know, the Andre, you know, and Andre deserves all the flowers, all the props, all the tributes. Mm-hmm. But why don't we just really be cautious and the night before Mania do the bubble wrap battle royal? And everyone comes out. They've got the bubble wrap duct taped to their bodies.
Oh my!
You know, and that way they're just extra protected.
I don't think that would go over too well.
And we could fill the ring.
We
could fill the ring with styrofoam packing peanuts.
No, get one of those bouncy castle things or something. I don't know. Just
spitballing ideas again, here.
I know, but then again, you know, I know it's leading into Mania. You don't want to see anybody get hurt and potentially be out of the picture for something that they're supposed to be in. But at the same time, you run that risk every time you step in that ring.
I know.
So, but for some reason, when it comes to Mania season, everybody starts to think, Ooh,
you don't want to jinx it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So we had Montez Ford versus Ricochet versus Eric versus Chad Gable tonight. Mm-hmm. Some good spots in this match. Ricochet got the win. I enjoyed Ricochet doing a little bit of dancing in the ring. So a little different side of Ricochet.
Yeah, starting to see some personality. I think that's going
to
help.
Finally. Them. It's good. Finally, 5 years in, we're finally starting to see some personality from Ricochet.
Exactly. And like I said, it was a fun match. And I hope this doesn't mean that this means that they will not be winning in the Fatal Four Way.
I mean, that's Raj's entire booking algorithm, right? It's like, yeah. You know, you win before, you lose at the pay-per-view. So
right.
We'll see.
Yeah. Booking 101.
Yes, we'll see what happens. But this was a fun match. Then we write from this, like, if you were like, hey, you know, four guys in the ring with four more on the sides wasn't enough. Let's do the Andre Battle Royal. That, what were there? Were there like 30 people in this match? This was,
I think at one point, I thought they said 32.
I thought they said 32. Even. And yes. I was, if I said that, Jimmy, if I came on this very podcast and I said, what were there like 32 people in this match? They'd be like, Glenn's being facetious. Right. There were maybe max 20. There were 32 men in the ring for this match.
It was tight in there. I mean, it's a 20 by 20 foot ring.
Yeah.
But man, did it look so tight in there. And until people start getting eliminated, it looks like a cluster, you know what?
Yes. That works out to 12.5 square feet per person. So that's like,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know what the square root of 12.5 is. But that's less than 4 feet on either side of you. Kind of crazy. Oh, no, it'd be 2 feet on either side. Yeah, because square feet. So that's pretty tight. That's like 18 inches, basically, in each direction.
Mm-hmm. And you had some big bodies in there, too.
It's true. This was nuts. Like, I'm just looking at the screenshot of this and thinking about watching it. And this was a lot going on. So Baron Corbin, former Andre Battle Royal winner, got eliminated first. Poor Baron.
I know, and quickly too.
Yes. I love Dexter Lumis just standing there. They should have just kept Dexter standing there in the corner staring till the very end.
Right. Well, I don't know if it would work all the way till the end, but at least deep into the match.
Yeah.
And then finally somebody turning around and going, what is this guy doing? You know?
LA Knight. Mm-hmm. Would have been my prediction to win. And I bet you if Bray Wyatt wasn't ill and Bobby hadn't gotten that win as a consolation, I bet you LA Knight was the original winner of this.
No, I don't doubt it. I mean, his time is coming and you don't want to wait too long on him. Yes, I know you don't want to rush it as well. You want to build it and build it. But like when you talk about ticking all the boxes, here's a guy who ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
You just got to do it at the right time. Just don't wait too long because you're going to miss that opportunity.
But Bronson Reed was the last eliminated. Bobby Lashley getting the win. Braun Strowman eliminated before Bronson, and then LA Knight before that. So this was good. It was enjoyable. I always like that they give this showcase. It's weird that it's not on the Mania card anymore because it was just a very fun Mania match. And I think if you're there for Mania in person, it's great just to see everybody. But you know, it's pretty stacked. We went from this to the women's equivalent of the match we saw earlier. We had Raquel Rodriguez versus Shayna versus Natalia versus Sonya Deville and Raquel getting the win. I mean, Shayna, look, this was a good match. I thought everyone got their stuff in, but I mean, come on, Shayna and Ronda are winning that match tomorrow.
That would be my guess. That would be my guess. And but they did make Raquel look good in this one. That's for sure. She came out looking really strong. No pun intended there. But again, at the same time, just like the men's match, it felt like a little bit, okay, we need to get through this 2 hours. Let's put this match in there. We could kill some time with this.
Yeah. But this was good. It was nice to see everybody. But yeah, come on. Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey are going to win their match at Mania, be the number one contenders, and go on to win those tag team championships.
Right. The only other one I could see, if anybody, would have been Raquel and oh my goodness.
Raquel with Liv.
With Liv. Yeah, with Liv Morgan. That's the only other team I could see benefiting from this, because if you want to elevate a team, that would be the one to elevate.
Absolutely. Good match, though. Enjoyable. And looking forward to seeing what they do with Ronda and Shayna as tag champs. We went from that to Rey Mysterio backstage with Legado del Fantasma. And the big payoff here is there is a new LWO, the Latino World Order, and they have shirts and they're for sale. You can buy them already. Oh. So Legato and Rey, I'm assuming Hall of Fame is going on right now. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't see Dominic, like Dominic showing up at Hall of Fame tonight.
I would think so. I just don't want to see them do anything overly dramatic in this and let the induction be the main focal point of what happens, as opposed to them doing a big drawn out angle.
Do you think Tony Clifton is going to interrupt tonight and respectfully accept on behalf of Andy Kaufman?
Oh my goodness. Would that be awesome? Who can wait? Maybe Jim Carrey.
Oh, that would be incredible. That would be incredible.
They are in LA. So you know what? Can you imagine Jim Carrey coming out and accepting the award?
Or he'll come out. Lawler's got to be doing the induction. Jim Carrey comes out and interrupts Lawler because of their onset feud.
Oh my goodness. That would be fun.
And I told that story. Watch the documentary on Netflix, Jim and Andy, about Jim Carrey's super method betrayal of Andy Kaufman and how he just effed with Jerry Lawler the entire shoot and afterwards. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Tremendous.
Kreesh with the super chat saying, is Reigns interrupting Cody before he could call a shot, an indication that he retains? Wish that they give Cody the injury excuse if he's losing. I mean, I don't think Cody's losing.
No, I don't think so either, because yes, they could always try and get the momentum back, but the way they have built up Cody, if he does not, if they don't cash in on this now, then they've lost a ton of momentum. And I've heard people say, well, you know, they could do it on the Monday post-WrestleMania. It won't be the same.
Yeah.
It just will not have the same effect. So here's an opportunity to really, you know, put a stamp on this. Roman Reigns, regardless of whether he, even without retaining the championship, Roman Reigns is still a megastar.
Yeah. But you don't lose at Mania to win the next night.
Right. Exactly. But I've heard people say that, you know, message me and stuff like that. I says, well, what if you have to capitalize on something at the right time. And I believe this is the right time for Cody. And judging by his words and his promos, especially what he's been saying, I'm walking out of there with those titles tomorrow night, you blah, blah, blah. If he doesn't, then he's lost all momentum, in my opinion.
No, and absolutely.
It'll be really tough to get it back.
No, if they didn't go with Sammy because of Cody, you don't miss both of those shots and then say, I'm going to catch the next wave. Like, the surf's going to be pretty calm after this if you don't go with either of those.
Mm-hmm. No, you know? Absolutely agreed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sunny Sitar is asking if I've been to Summerlin, Nevada. That's here in Las Vegas. And should they buy a home there? I have been to Summerlin. We did not move to Summerlin, partially because it's traditionally thought of as like the more, I don't know, like bougie area of Las Vegas. And I think because of that, it's very overpriced. The crime rate is actually surprisingly higher there than you would think. We opted for a quiet corner in the Northwest that, I'm glad most people haven't caught on to yet, because it's very quiet, very safe, and very reasonable property values to where we were able to get, stretch our money, you know, a long way. But yes, loving living in Las Vegas now for a year and a half. It's been absolutely phenomenal.
Wow. It's interesting as a reformed, a reformed betting man. It would be tough for me.
You know, I was in a casino for a conference 3 weeks ago, and I had a little time to kill, so I went to the craps table, bet $10 on the Heart Eight, and a guy hit it twice in a row.
Wow.
Never happens. And then immediately took my winnings, went and lost it in one hand of blackjack, and that is all the gambling I've done in a year and a half.
Wow.
I think it's just, you know, you gotta go in knowing what you're willing to lose.
Mm-hmm. Go in with a game plan and stick to it.
We like bingo because it's a set like $40 or $50 buy. You get free drinks and you're going to be occupied for an hour and a half.
Ah,
you know, like it's and maybe you win. Most of the time you don't. And they have the electronic machines. They do all the work for you. So you're not having to use the daubers. And it's just kind of fun to hang out and maybe you win a prize, you know?
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. But look, I think the new LWO, you know, great angle to take with this. I think that, you know, Vicky Guerrero tweeted her enthusiasm about this. And I think, yeah, I think this could be a great match this weekend. I think that even probably more than Kevin and Sammy and the Usos, Dominic versus Rey is the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, it's incredible. The unbelievable growth of Dominic is amazing. And as someone like myself who had, you know, the pleasure of getting to meet them as kids.
Yeah.
And you know, and play around with them in the ring and have fun and, you know, before the shows and that kind of stuff, seeing what he's become and seeing him just absorb and be a sponge, you can tell that he has all the tools to be a big star in the future. And I know they've got high hopes for him, but at the same time, watching him, how could you not?
No, he's like, it's just, it's been such a good story. Absolutely love it. And can't wait to see that match. And hey, if you're looking forward to Sheamus and Drew McIntyre versus Walter or Gunther this week, still never used to that, versus Gunther this weekend. Well, tonight you got to watch them versus Imperium. Mm-hmm. Can they coexist? Could they coexist? They did, and they won. Okay. Which is interesting what that means for their match versus Gunther. Do you think Gunther retains?
There's a possibility that, because everybody's talking about Sheamus being, this is the one title in the WWE he has never held.
Oh yeah. When they start doing that,
now you start thinking, oh, you know, does this, because you can get the title off of Gunther without Sheamus having to pin him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they've already teased it's there, the tension between him and Drew, you know, in the can they coexist tag match tonight too as well. But yes, so there's a way to get him as champion, you know, like say Gunther doing the damage,
yeah,
and Gunther doing the damage, and Sheamus, like, I hate using this term, picking up the scraps, sort of, like, you know. But you know, and then you have two built-in rivalries, Gunther being upset that he wasn't actually pinned for the title.
Yeah.
And start complaining that these three-way matches title matches shouldn't be defended in these type of matches. And you've also got the other rivalry with him and Drew, who are buddies and can't coexist now.
Night one in the chat confirming Dominic is at the Hall of Fame with Rhea Ripley. So.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, I got to be honest. I want Ray to have his moment, but didn't Ray say this week in interviews that he was thinking about retiring before this storyline? Like, this has reinvigorated him a bit, working with Dominic and doing this. I mean, I don't see how they resist getting Dominic Mysterio involved tonight in Ray's Hall of Fame speech.
You can make it simple, though. Don't go overboard. Just make it simple.
This is world wrestling, you know,
entertainment. I know, but maybe it could be something just as simple as Ray gets introduced. He does whoever, you know, does the speech to induct him. Speech is done. Here comes Ray's entrance. They get up and leave. Rhea and Dom just stand up, look, and walk out. That's it. I don't want to see any like back and forth between.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see if Dom does a tasteful gesture tonight.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. Like, I said good day, and then turns around and leaves.
Right.
You know?
Or he comes out applauding. Yeah. You know, he's applauding. And then when his dad comes to him, his dad looks at him and goes, and walks away. I don't know. I want to keep it to a minimum. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good storyline, though. I mean.
Oh, it's incredible.
In fact, it's been so long, I'm trying to. I mean, it all just sort of supports. I think, look, Rey Mysterio is one of the all-time greatest wrestlers ever. Mm-hmm. Joy to watch. He has not always had the greatest storylines. True. This is the best one going way back.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell he is totally 1,000% invested in this because it is his son.
Yeah.
And that's what tells me when they meet at WrestleMania, Dom is going to do everything he can to get his son over.
Yeah.
And I could see Dad doing the honors for his son. Like, you know, him feeling bad after doing what he did, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I mean, I think it's going to be can't miss match, right. You know? Yeah. I'm tuning in for that. Really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. They hyped up NXT Stand and Deliver tonight, which is happening tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 a.m. Pacific time. At 10 a.m., people are going to go to the Staples Center and watch NXT Stand and Deliver and then brave traffic to go all the way to Inglewood for WrestleMania Night 1.
Wow.
And I wonder, I feel bad for whatever match has to go last tomorrow, because people are going to want to beat the traffic.
Interesting. Oh, there's a one in the chat. Night One is saying that Triple H is sitting with Cody and Brandy. Oh, Dom is behind them. LOL.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And like you said, Ray definitely deserving going in. He broke down some barriers because, you know, for years, WWF/WWE had that moniker of being Land of the Giants. You had to be a big guy or you didn't. And Ray broke down those walls, him, Eddie, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. But then the main event promo tonight was Cody Rhodes coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the crowd, you know. If he's gotten a really good but not great reaction some weeks and week in and week out, the hardcore fans who traveled to WrestleMania tonight, like this was Cody's people. These are the audience that can't wait to see him win that title off Roman Reigns.
Right. Absolutely. And again, like we said earlier, this is the time to do it. If you're going to do it, you pull the trigger, because if you don't do it, then all that momentum you've built up is gone.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I thought Cody's promo was good tonight.
Until he got cut off.
Yeah, until he got cut off by Roman Reigns. And their face-offs are interesting because I think that Roman seems so aloof and indifferent to Cody that this is the problem. I would go as far as to say that they don't really have chemistry in the promo sense, but maybe they shouldn't. But this is not Hogan and Piper. This is, you know, Roman is playing this like he's on a whole other level, and Cody is playing this as he's very earnest. And this is the culmination of his journey. And I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they've hit their sweet spot with having a promo face off against each other? I mean, they're both doing excellent work, but I don't feel that it's coalescing into something where, you know, I could just watch these guys trash talk each other all day.
No, because it's a different presentation of their battles. And like you said, it is more like Roman treating Cody like he's undeserving. Like, you went to started that other company because you couldn't cut it here.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's also interesting though, too, though, right? Though, Jimmy, because he's not doing WWE promo number like 101. Heyman did this for Cody, but Roman isn't putting him over while showing him disrespect.
Right. Which is interesting. It, like you said, he's talking to him in a condescending manner.
Yeah.
And it's coming up. Yeah. Very indifferent. Like, you know, I can't believe I'm facing you at WrestleMania of all people, kind of sort of thing, you know. And I can't believe you're Dusty's dad. And then Cody going, oh, are we shooting on each other? Just a little smidge of pulling back the curtain, so to speak, but not really going all out. So I do find it interesting. I like the interaction. I like some of the stuff that was said. I have to look down, of course, at my notes to remind me what was said. But, I even have it down. I loved Roman's entrance. The fact that he took his time. He took his sweet.
It was nice.
Yeah. Just, hey, I'm going to soak this in, you know, and stuff like that. And I love the fact that he didn't want the crowd in LA to acknowledge him, because again, they were beneath him too.
Yeah, he wanted Cody too.
But he wanted Cody to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was very cool. Although it was funny, Cody, like, reciting California Love.
Right. Oh, that was the Tupac stuff was too much. That was awesome.
Man, I mean, this is been a crazy build. This has been a crazy feud. I think that Cody and Paul Heyman have had some great exchanges during this. But I think that the idea of this feud is what's really put the wind in the sails. Like, it's not a Daniel Bryan thing where it's about rooting for the underdog. Mm-hmm. It's rooting for the guy that, you know, he didn't pull a CM Punk. He didn't just walk out and disappear and then come back. But the guy who wanted to go out on his own, made it on the indies, started another promotion, and then is coming back to take the throne. Like, that on a meta level is very interesting and a phenomenal story. I think the way that they've done this in ring, again, has been good, but not great.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair. But at the same time, I just find it incredible that they've gone to this.
Yeah.
Thing. I think it would have been a lot different if he didn't get injured and have that torn.
Yeah.
Was it a torn peck or
peck? Torn peck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And been out for, what was it, 8 months or so, or
whatever
the case may be. It might have been a different story, but at the same time, this is, you know, we are where we are. And like I said, the trigger does need to be pulled on Sunday night, and Cody needs to be the guy. Yeah. And I find it interesting, like, I didn't know if in 2023, the guy that comes out wearing a suit and being dressed and looking dapper and all that kind of stuff would fly in 2023, but nobody else does it now. So, hey.
It is funny, though. Dusty cuts the Hard Times promo and Cody recites California Love.
Wow. Yeah. Tremendous.
These millennials, you know, with the hip and the hop and their mashup culture.
Yes.
Exactly. But no, look, I mean, we're all looking forward to that match this weekend. So yeah, it was interesting. I mean, we're talking about this and there were some tentpole moments, but this wasn't like a wall to wall eventful go home show for Mania. Right. And I know they got Hall of Fame and I think, you know, there's, it's just getting underway, but quickly. So tomorrow we're going to be here, me, Jimmy, and Justin, and we're going to talk about night one of Mania. We're going to talk, probably recap a little bit of Stand and Deliver, just go over any high points that happened.
Right.
And Alfred and I ran down the card the other night. Really looking forward to that. But so we're going to open tomorrow with Austin Theory versus John Cena. Who do you got in that match for the United States Championship?
I know it sounds cliche to say Cena's there to help elevate this guy. He already has elevated him. Just by being in the ring with him. But at the same time, this is Austin Theory's time to shine and really become the arrogant SOB that he can be.
Yeah, better be.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if they want to disrespect Theory, have Cena win it and then come back the next night and drop it just to get it off Theory. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, no.
Yeah.
Or even, you never know, even something, I don't want to talk about doing a DQ finish because I think that would just rub people the wrong way, where it looks like Cena's going to, you know, be John Cena, and then here comes Austin Theory intentionally getting himself disqualified.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Depends on how you creatively do it, though.
Yes. And everyone's mentioning, I saw online, but I didn't know the details. Dante Martin broke something tonight on his leg, or perhaps his ankle at Ring of Honor. Very scary spot. I have not watched the video yet, but that story. Tune into Wrestling Inc. for all the latest updates there. I think this could very well steal the show tomorrow. Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul in a singles match.
Yeah. Because it's amazing what Logan Paul could actually do.
And I hate it. I hate how good he is.
Yes.
At this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that about like most heels. It's like, oh, well, they're playing a character and you love to hate them. And it's like, I legitimately hate this, but he's phenomenal.
No, I get it. But you know what? You talk about heels looking natural. This guy comes off as being an arrogant SOB.
And he's so good. And it pains me to say that and give him credit.
And I can imagine how many of the talent are upset that, you know, he adapted to it so quickly. Like, here's this YouTube guy and he can do what we do. Are you kidding me?
Well, supposedly he has a ring, but supposedly like he'll spend a month working every beat of the match, mm-hmm. prepping for it, which is, I mean, it's good. You know, I think a lot of wrestlers don't have that luxury because they're on the road. They have stuff going on, but he's able to do that, and more power to him.
Right. Because for wrestlers, that's being on the road and getting your reps in the ring during shows is.
Yeah. So Logan supposedly is done with WWE for a while after this. So maybe Seth wins tomorrow. We'll see.
So he knocked him out a couple of times. So Seth has to get his come up.
Yeah.
Logan Paul does have to get his comeuppance in some form or fashion.
We're going to have Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch versus Damage Control for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles tomorrow.
Oh, it is for the tag team titles?
Is it not?
It's a three-way.
It's a six-woman tag team match. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's not for the titles.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, that's right. Because the contender and the thing, yes. That is kind of weird, though, to just not put the titles on the line of Mania.
No. I thought they would be, but I guess getting the Hall of Famers back was a priority here. And I know a lot of people, there's rumors out there about Trish possibly turning heel and so forth. But it's a rumor that's out there that I've seen, but at the same time, I don't see this audience wanting to boo Trish, regardless of what underhanded deed she does to her tag team partners. I don't see them going off and booing the heck out of her. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, legendary Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then we're going to have Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders. This is for the number one contendership for the tag team titles. Presumably they'll be going on to face Sammy and KO down the line. But who do you think is going to become the number one contenders? Because in my mind, they could very well win the tag team championships. I don't think Kevin and Sammy are going to be champs for a super long time.
Right. It's interesting. I mean, you could make a case for any one of the teams but there are teases, little teases of Street Profits maybe having a little bit of dissension without being overt about it. If you had to pick a team, if it's KO and Sammy as the champions, you would imagine it would be a heel team. So I could definitely see the Viking Raiders.
But
for me, I would love to see Chad and Otis.
Yeah, I don't see the Viking Raiders. I mean, maybe they'll but I don't see them dethroning Sammy and Kevin.
No.
Just don't. So we go from that to Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. Yeah, maybe Rey puts Dominic over.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic Mysterio. Like, so here's the thing. One, it'd be nice for Ray to get the win, feel good moment. Mm-hmm. Although kind of weird, a feel good moment, like he beat the crap out of his punk son.
Right.
But the thing that I like, if Dominic wins this match, he will be insufferable.
Yes.
And that will be phenomenal.
It will be phenomenal. But it's kind of a weird situation you find yourself in, that if Ray does not win, then his son gets away with what he did.
I know.
And stuff like that, because he has to get his comeuppance, and you know, so you can have him win. Ray lose at WrestleMania, but they have a what's the pay-per-view again?
Backlash in Puerto Rico.
They could have the rematch at Backlash in some form or fashion, and after the match, that's when Ray could say, you know what, I've taught my son a lesson. I've been inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's time for me to call it a career.
I think they should do a Father's Day pay-per-view, and they should have every second generation and third generation talent and a match against their fathers. Tomorrow night, Dominic can dedicate this. This is to everyone that, you know, has ever wanted to beat up their old man.
Right. And not to get off topic, just to let you know that Jimmy Hart is out doing the induction speech for Andy Kaufman right now.
Not Lawler. That's interesting. Oh, but no, Lawler recently because of his health.
Yes, maybe he can't travel.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's unfortunate. But no, nice that Jimmy Hart's there. So let's see. just a countdown for Tony Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
Show.
Oh, amazing.
Bob Zemuda is still alive, right? Bob Zemuda.
They did earlier when they were showing some. They showed Lawler speaking about him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Bob Zemuda was shown there.
Okay, so Bob Zemuda in the role of Tony Clifton. So we'll have Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. Do you think Rhea's going to win the championship?
Yes, I think it's eventually going to lead down the road to Charlotte winning it back. I think they've made it a point of mentioning that Charlotte is a 14-time women's champion.
She can't win that many more. She can't win that many more.
Well, she could win two more at least and tie her father. I don't think she would want to break her dad's record.
But with Cena, they kind of pump the brakes.
Yes.
Because they don't want anyone to break that record.
Yes.
Charlotte breaking the record makes sense.
It does make sense, but at the same time, father-daughter sharing that record, kind of, yeah. I don't know.
But doesn't it get ridiculous? It's like, I'm the 35-time world champion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which means you had to lose it 34 times. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's really not that impressive when you think about it. Yeah. Like, it is, but it isn't. Yeah.
It's like batting it's not like batting 500. Never mind. That's not a good example.
You know, I've lost 300 pounds, but it's really just that I've lost and gained back 10 pounds multiple times.
Right. Wow.
But then the main event, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, if Jimmy and Jay retain tomorrow, I expect those betting odds for Roman over Cody to sway in Roman's direction.
Yeah, maybe. But I kind of have a feeling that KO and Sammy relieve them of their championships.
Yeah.
And it begins the slow demise of the bloodline. And
that slow, right?
Well.
You know? I mean, if Roman loses it the next night, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's going to be over very soon. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. This is exciting, and I'm glad we get to talk this tomorrow night with Justin. I think it's going to be a good time. But, hey, Hall of Fame is on. I know Rampage was pre-taped tonight. Ty Valkyrie had a match. There were some good things from what I heard. But next week we'll get back on the regular Rampage schedule.
Right.
Appreciate you hanging with us. Do these programming shifts.
Sammy Guevara and Takeshita, sorry.
Yes.
Apparently had a barn burner as well, too.
So I heard it was good.
Pretty good match, yeah.
It was really good. So, and then Ring of Honor's got their pay-per-view tonight as well that I heard was really good.
A lot going on.
So, yeah, I'm going to go watch Hall of Fame. Maybe Creed 3 hit streaming, so maybe I'll check that out this evening. But then I'm up early tomorrow for Stand and Deliver. We're not covering Stand and Deliver live after, but we'll talk about some high points on tomorrow night's show.
Mm-hmm.
And WrestleMania Night 1. So, happy WrestleMania Eve for all those who celebrate. And, yes. Follow Jimmy at Jimmy Corderas, and I'm at Glenn Rubenstein, and we'll catch you back here tomorrow on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Happy WrestleMania, everyone. Good night.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
Good night.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.